You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, who wants to have a little fun? Come on, it's Christmas Eve. Anybody want to have a little fun in church? How many of you know it's okay to have some fun in church? Some of y'all are new. You didn't know that. It's okay to have fun in church. There are a lot of different traditions these days, and I've never done this before, but many of you have. How many of you kids, how many of you parents do Elf on a Shelf? Anybody done this? Or at school, maybe at class? Yeah, I see hands going up. Some of your teachers do Elf on a Shelf. And the basic idea is, I think, like the whole month leading up to Christmas, the elf shows up every day, right? He goes back to the North Pole at night. But every day when you come in, the elf is in a different spot. This is the basic idea, right? And sometimes it can be really funny, and the elf can do something mischievous. Well, the funniest thing I've seen on social media, on the internet this year, is what happens when dad is left in charge of Elf on the Shelf. How many of you know that's, you know, things just take a little bit of different twists and turns when dad's in charge of Elf on the Shelf? So I thought you guys might enjoy seeing what happens when dad's in charge of Elf on the Shelf. We have a few pictures for you. So guys, go ahead and put up the first picture. Here's what can happen. The elf on the shelf ends up teaming up with the Chucky doll to torture the snowman there on the cheese grater. Not good when dad gets in charge of Elf on the Shelf. All right, check out this next one. What do we have? Oh, this is for you Star Wars fans, just in time for Star Wars. I think that's Han Solo and some Star Wars characters, and the elf is upside down. And if you notice, the stove is on. That's not nice, kids. Don't try this at home, okay? Man. All right, we have one more for you. Yep, the train. Yep, what happens when, dad's in charge of Elf on the Shelf. The elf ends up bound and gagged on the toy train set there. And one last one. There's Elf on the Shelf, and there's Elf on the Potty. Elf on the Potty. Come on, even Elf on the Shelf enjoys a book while he's sitting in all of our most comfortable position. All right, thank you guys. Well, that's what happens. Just so you know, if dad is left in charge of Elf on the Shelf, anything can happen. Well, we all have our Christmas traditions, don't we? Some people do Elf on the Shelf. Some people enjoy baking Christmas cookies. Some people, it's playing Christmas music from like the day after Halloween. Come on, where all the people have been playing Christmas music since November 1st. And I've been singing Christmas carols around the house. You know, I auditioned for the choir this year and I didn't make it. My wife said, stay in your own lane. So I just make up for it by singing around the house, right? I heard a wise elf say one time, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. So I do that around the house, and I can promise you the more I sing, the less my chances are of making the choir anytime soon. But, you know, there are so many things that help us embrace Christmas cheer this time of year. And one of my favorite things that really helps me get into the Christmas spirit is all the beautiful Christmas lights this time of year. How many of you just enjoy the Christmas lights everywhere you go in every direction? My neighborhood is very festive this time of year. And we also live just a few minutes away from the Kensico Dam Plaza, you know, where there's a Westchester Winter Wonderland. There's some pictures there from Wonderland. And so we drive past the lights, and it really just cheers me up, especially this time of year. Because, you know, it gets dark so early, right? And it seems like, you know, you come home from work and it's already dark, but at least we have the lights to cheer us up. And I think the darkness causes us to appreciate the light a little bit more. Come on, if it was summertime, we probably wouldn't really care so much about lights, right? Because it stays bright till dark. But I think because it's wintertime and because it gets dark, we appreciate the light even more. You really appreciate the light that you take for granted when you have a power outage, don't you? You walk into a room and what do? Instinctively, you got to flip the light switch even though the power's out, and you realize you can't see anything. It's the darkness that causes us to appreciate the light. And we have to acknowledge for just a moment here on the brink of Christmas that our world is often a dark place, isn't it? I mean, you put on the news and it seems like every day there are just tragic stories, right? War happening in the world and natural disasters and people suffering in different places and in different ways. And we all know someone, somebody we care about, a friend, a family member who's going through a difficult season. We all go through our own personal dark times, whether due to our own choices or things that are beyond our control. I'm not trying to depress you on Christmas Eve, but we just have to acknowledge the fact that often our world is a dark place. And I think it's important to mention that because sometimes we get to Christmas to a night like this. And you know, we see the nativity and we see the baby Jesus in a manger and Mary and Joseph, his parents, and the wise men and the shepherds. And it all seems so nice, so cozy. You know, it seems like so romantic. Like everything is just perfect. But there's a very different picture that's painted in the scripture. In fact, the prophet Isaiah, he foretold the coming of Christ centuries before his birth. And he gives us a very different picture. Let's look at this passage, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Here's what it says. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. See, at the time of Jesus's birth, the world was a very dark place. It was certainly a dark place for the Jewish people, for Jesus's people. They were living during the time of the great Pax Romana, the Roman peace. And there was peace because there was peace by force. There was peace because Rome had conquered everyone, peace by the sword. And now the whole Mediterranean world was forced to pay taxes to Caesar. They were subjugated to the rule of the Roman Empire. And here were the Jewish people who had the promises of God. They were the chosen covenant people of God. They had received this beautiful promise from God that God was going to bless them, make them into a great nation, prosper them, give them their own land. And yet every day they live with the reality that they were conquered people, that they were just subjects of the Roman Empire, and they faced increasingly they faced immorality, and they were surrounded by paganism in every direction. It was a dark time. It's a very dark time in the world, very dark time for the people of God. And then you fast forward to the New Testament. In John's gospel, he describes the coming of Christ, what we call the incarnation, the fact that God took on flesh and blood. The Son of God came to this planet. And in describing Jesus' coming to the world, he describes Jesus as a light. Look at what it says. John chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, and verse 14. The Word, which refers to Jesus, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christmas is a celebration of Jesus Christ as the light, that Jesus has come to us as the light of the world. We celebrate the fact that God actually came to us in flesh and blood. He gave us his Son. The Son of God came to us. God didn't leave us in the darkness. God did not leave us in the darkness, but Jesus came as a light that pushes back the darkness. This is exactly why we can celebrate Christmas. This is why we have a reason to lift our voices and to sing and to celebrate, because Jesus came as a light to this world. As we said a moment ago, we recognize our need for light when there's darkness, right? The darkness causes us to appreciate and recognize our need for the light. So I want to just give you a few thoughts today about why we needed a light, why we needed Jesus to come to us as a light. And I want to invite you to take some notes. Maybe you want to put some notes in your phone, but just a couple ideas for you to meditate on this Christmas. Why we needed a light. Number one, light gives direction. Light gives direction. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12. Look at what it says in the Gospel of John. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." And we know that light gives us direction. Think about the difference that light makes. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite features on my phone, on the iPhone, is the little flashlight feature. How many of you use this like all the time? I mean, I drop my keys in the dark, you know, I'm fixing something. I'm always using this little flashlight. In my hallway between my bedroom and my bathroom, I have a little nightlight there. And that little nightlight is the most important light in the house, because I turned 40 years old this year and my bladder is now 40 years old. And so when I get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, that little light keeps me from stumbling and stubbing my toe. A little bit of light makes a big difference in the darkness, doesn't it? Light goes a long way. It helps give us direction. And without it, we lose our way, because we so easily drift without light, don't we? We so easily drift. And every one of us in this place, we all have one thing in common. Whether you are a member of this church, whether you're a first-time guest here today, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, whether you consider yourself to be a Christian or you're just sorting it all out, we all have one thing in common. We've all been at some time in our lives, some place in our life, where we've asked ourselves this question: how did I end up here? Come on, have you been there before? Like, how did I get to this place in my marriage? How did I get to this place in my finances? How did I get to this place in my work? And how did I get to this place in physically in my health? Like, whether you made a decision or whether there are outside forces affecting you, like, we've all gotten to this place in life at some point in time, if you've lived long enough, where you've said, how did I end up here? I had different expectations for my life. Like, you had standards for yourself that, if you're honest, you couldn't even live up to. And that's because we need a light. We need direction. All throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus inviting people to follow him as a light to lead them out of darkness. We see Jesus embracing people who he met in their brokenness, in their sin, in their shame, people who were ostracized by the religious system, who felt like outsiders, people who were sick and marginalized by society. And over again, what we see Jesus doing is not go do this, go do that, go jump through all these religious hoops so God will love you and accept you. No, over and over again, we see Jesus calling people to follow me. Follow me. I am the light that will help you out of this situation. I am the light that will give direction to your life and direction to your path. This is so important, so important. I have people come to me all the time as a pastor who need direction. They're using different phrases and terms and asking for prayer requests, but over and over again, I see that this person there, what they need is direction for their life, direction for the next step in their career, direction on how to overcome this divorce, how to overcome this situation and this thing that they're going through right now, navigating this stress. Like, I need direction. I need to know God's will for my life. I need a prayer answered. Pastor, pray for me. I know myself personally, how easily I can drift. How easily I can get distracted in the busyness of life and bills and raising kids and doing all that I have to do. And I'm so thankful that Jesus is a light for me. He calls me to follow him. And I look up and I see him and he reminds me of what my calling is and what my life is about. Let me just tell you this morning, church, Jesus came as a light. We didn't need another great moral teacher. We didn't need another religion. What we needed was a savior. And Jesus came as a light. Because this world has darkness, and every one of us, we've experienced personal darkness in some way. And so here's my question for you on this Christmas Eve. Who are you following? Because every one of us, we're following someone or something or some ideal or some expectation that somebody set before us. Some people are trying to keep up with the Joneses. Some people are trying to live up to their parents' expectations. Everybody's following something. The question is, are you following Jesus Christ, the light of the world? All right, here's the second thought. The second thought, why we need a light. Light gives us direction. The second thing is light dispels fear. Light dispels fear. How many of you kids in the room are ever scared of the dark? Any of you kids, you ever go in your room or your dark basement and it's scary? Come on, how many of you kids would say sometimes your mom and dad are scared of the dark? Come on, rat them out. Tell the truth. How many of you adults, you know you're afraid of the dark sometimes, right? We all are a little bit. And why is that? Have you noticed that what scares us in the dark isn't really scary in the light? Have you noticed that, you know, a room isn't any different, a dark alley isn't any different, some space that kind of spooks us out a little bit isn't really any different in the light? It's just the darkness makes all the difference, right? Light makes all the difference. What scares us in the dark isn't scary at all in the light, because light dispels fear. On the side of my house, I keep my recycling in my garbage cans, and right on the side of my house, they're kind of hidden behind a tree. And about a year ago, I had some raccoons that started getting into my garbage. How many of you have had this problem before? And these raccoons were driving me crazy. I mean, they were shredding my garbage up, spreading it everywhere. I put bungee cords on the tops of the garbage cans. They figured out how to get the bungee cords off, right? I mean, these suckers were just, they were driving me crazy. I had a mess everywhere. And so I ended up, you know, having to move like one of my garbage cans inside the garage, but the overflow is still out there. And, you know, I got to where, like, if I went out to take the garbage out at night, I was a little bit spooked because, you know, raccoons can look really cute, but how many of you know, like, raccoons are feisty and you don't want to startle a raccoon, right? And they're rabid quite, you know, often. And so you don't want to get into a tussle with a raccoon. So I was a little bit spooked whenever I have to go out at night in the dark. And one night I went out to the garbage can and I lifted the top and I went to go drop the garbage bag in, and there was a raccoon sitting right there. And I just dropped the garbage bag on top of him and put the lid on top and just walked away. So now, like, every time I have to go to the side of my house at night, I'm always like, oh my gosh, I don't want to step on a raccoon. Now, during the daytime, I walk past that same spot, you know, and it doesn't scare me at all. Like, I'm Captain America during the daytime. At nighttime, I'm just a big sissy afraid I'm going to get attacked by a raccoon. And what makes the difference? The light makes all of the difference, doesn't it? makes all the difference. It dispels fear. When you have light, there's nothing to be afraid of. Here's what Jesus said. Let's look at this verse again. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The word is just refers to Jesus. Jesus came to us as the word of God. The word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought life to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The darkness can never extinguish it. In one translation, it says, the darkness can never overcome it. This is a beautiful promise for us. We don't have to be afraid, even though sometimes we walk through dark times, dark seasons, because we have the light of Jesus Christ, and light makes all the difference. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be afraid when you go through a difficult season. Maybe when you're facing some stress at work, some stress in a relationship, stress in your marriage if you're married, stress in your finances, some fearful time. Like, if you have the light of Jesus Christ, you can face anything, because the light dispels the darkness. When you encounter the what ifs of life, come on, how many of you know that we can all use our imaginations to be fearful about the what ifs of life? What if the economy falls apart? What if I lose my job, right? What if somebody I love gets sick? What if my football team doesn't make it to the playoffs this year? Come on, right? We all have these fears. And when you have the light of Jesus Christ, like, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of where you stand with God. Because I would venture to say there are people in this room right now, and every one of us at some point in time have had a sense of, what would happen to me if I died tonight? Am I in a right relationship with God? When God sees my life, when he sees the choices I'm making, when he sees the way I'm living my life and my priority and the way I'm spending my time and my finances and the way I'm taking care of my family, is God happy with me? As he looks at me, like, is he angry with me or is he happy with me? And what would happen when I die? Let's be honest, we all have that fear deep down on the inside of us as human beings. And here's the beautiful thing. Jesus is the light of the world, and the light makes all the difference. And when you have the light, you don't have to live in fear anymore. Because light dispels fear. Light dispels fear. Here's the third idea, okay? How the light makes a difference. Number one, light gives us direction. Jesus is the light of the world. Who are you following? We need to follow him. Here's the second thing. Light dispels fear. I can't promise you that you're never going to face a dark time in your life in this next year, because we all will, but light makes a difference. And here's the third reason we needed a light, because light can be reflected. How many of you know light can be reflected from one source to another? Light can be reflected. As Christians, we're not just called to keep all this light to ourselves. It's not like we get this beautiful gift of our Savior who was born on Christmas and we're supposed to keep him to ourselves. No. We're supposed to have enough light to share with someone else. This is about us receiving this light so that we can share the light and the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God, with others. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, famous scripture. Here's what Jesus said to his followers. Not only am I the light of the world, look at this. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. I've been to the Holy Land. They have all these little towns on these little hills at night, and at nighttime they're lit up. They cannot be hidden. Verse 15, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16, would you read this out loud with me? In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Good job, everybody. That's our job. That they may see your good deeds and you would get the credit for being a really nice person. No, it's not what it says. That they may see your good deeds and everybody thinks you're an upstanding citizen and a wonderful person. No, that they may see your good deeds and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Why? Because you are a reflection of his light. You're a reflection of his light. We are called to be a light, to reflect the love of God, and in turn create light for others. Come on, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, like, you are called to reflect the light, and we run to the darkness. We go to dark places and we bring the light of Jesus Christ with us. I'm encouraged by the light. I don't know about you. There's, you know, for every story of something bad that's happening, for every depressing and dark thing that's happening around me or in somebody's life that I know of, I'm encouraged by examples and stories and testimonies of light. Are you with me? Like, we need those kind of stories. And let me just brag on you as a pastor. Let me just talk to our church people for a moment. You encourage me. When you live this out, when you reflect the light, you encourage me. I'm encouraged when I hear stories in this church of people praying for each other, people loving on each other, people being there for each other during their time of need. People cooking for each other, making meals for each other, showing up at the hospital, like life groups, people getting in relationships and looking after each other. It encourages me when I see your light. It encourages me when we have a day like Serve Day and so many of you come out and give up your precious time to get out in the community to serve and to pack care packages for the elderly and to go spruce up community gardens and public housing and to pack backpacks full of supplies and clothes for kids who are in need. Like it encourages me to see your light. It encourages me. It encourages me when you live generously. Like when you give in our Christmas offering. There's been such an amazing response to our Christmas offering this year, and to see how our church is making a difference. To see how like you're loving on kids who are in need in other parts of the world and giving to make a difference right here in Westchester. Like I'm encouraged by your light. With so much darkness in this world, we need more stories and more examples of light. And it encourages me every time you love, every time you serve, every time you give, every time you pray, you're pushing back the darkness. You're pushing back the darkness. And I'm telling you, church, it makes a difference. People notice it. We're so used to darkness all around us. When people see the light, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. I saw this quote recently that I want to share with you from author Steve Maraboli. He writes this: "Want to keep Christ in Christmas? Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked, forgive the guilty, welcome the unwanted, care for the ill, love your enemies, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Amen. Sounds really nice to say something really spiritual, like keep Christ in Christmas, but I really believe this is one of the ways we do that very thing. We reflect the light that's been given to us, the light that has been shined into our hearts, into our souls. We don't keep it to ourselves, but we allow it to be reflected into the lives of others. Let me just tell you this morning, if you consider yourself to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, you are a light, and you might be the only light that people around you see. There are many people these days who don't read the Bible, don't even own a Bible, but they read your life as they interact with you at work, in the schools, in your neighborhood, as they encounter you, they read your life. There are many people who have never had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, have never known him that way. They've never been in a church like that or a situation. Or maybe it's been years since they've been in church and felt like they had a sense of the presence of God, the presence of Jesus in their life. But let me tell you, through your example, through your heart, through your life, through your testimony, they can come in contact with Jesus Christ. Come on, church, you got to get a hold of this Christmas season. You got to get this down in your heart and your soul. You might be the only light that somebody around you has, and they need you to reflect this light. This is our calling. This is who we are. And so as we come to a close in just a moment, we're going to pray together. I want to leave you with a final thought. You know what I find so convincing about the Christmas story and really about the gospel story as a whole, the good news of Jesus Christ? What I find so convincing about Christmas, what I find so convincing about the good news of Jesus Christ is it deals with our darkness. This isn't a story that just kind of passes over the darkness. Christmas isn't the celebration of this little beautiful baby in a manger like we see on a Christmas card with Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds and everything is perfect. No, here's what we know as we read the scriptures. Jesus was born into a dark world, into dark times where people were hurting and suffering, and they needed to know that there was a real God who loved them. And so what I love about it is it engages and it deals with and acknowledges the darkness, but it doesn't leave us there. It doesn't leave us there. The good news of Christmas is that God was not content to leave us in our darkness, but he did something about it. For better or for worse, he did something about it, and he made the first move toward us, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the embodiment of his love. I love the scripture that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ gave his life for us. Before we did anything, God made the first move. Before we could love him back, whether or not we'd ever love him back, he sent his son into this world. So let me read the scripture to you one final time. John chapter 1, verse 14. We read this before. The word Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Truth to me, as I think about it, is like a flashlight that shines on our lives, light always dispels darkness. The reality is when God looks at us, He sees everything about us. He knows what's broken about us. He sees our sinfulness. He sees the things that we're ashamed of. He sees the fact that we have standards for ourselves that we can't even often live up to. He sees the good in us as well. He sees the striving in us. He sees the heart in us to really do right by others. But He sees everything. He sees the truth. But here's the beautiful thing. Here's what I love. He doesn't just come full of truth. He doesn't just come with judgment. He doesn't come in condemnation. He comes full of truth, but also full of what? Full of grace. Come on, I don't know about you, but I want a God who comes full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth, who sees every part of my life, but loves me for who I am. And that's exactly what we believe about Christmas. That's exactly why we believe God sent His Son to be the embodiment of God's love and His grace and His truth in your life. And so I want to invite you to stand with me. We're going to pray this morning a final prayer. In just a moment, we're going to light up our candles. We're going to sing a final song as the team comes back. Just stand with me. And if I could just have everybody's attention for one moment. I know we've got the kids and everybody's excited to put their lights on in just a moment, but would you just lock in for just a moment? If I could just have your eyes up here for just a moment. In just a moment, we'll be dismissed and we'll be with our friends and family and celebrations, but I really believe this is a sacred moment. I really believe for some of you, this is going to be your most important moment of your whole Christmas season. And so I want to leave you with a final question to meditate on. When we come to the closing of our service, we always have an opportunity to meditate on what does the message mean for me? God, what might you be saying to me today? And so here's the final question I want you to meditate on as we pray. Will you receive Jesus as the light of the world? Will you recognize that you need a light to guide your path? You need someone to guide you. And we believe that someone is a loving Savior. Will you receive His light? And here's the second question. Will you share it with others? Who can you share it with? Who can you share it with? And the answer to that question is somebody's name. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a neighbor in need, but somebody needs your light. Would you just bow your heads with me this morning? And can we just pray? And as we pray, can we just meditate on those two questions this morning? Jesus, will we accept you as the light that you are? And will we reflect this light to others around us? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for this beautiful season, for this beautiful time of year. We thank you that Jesus, you came to us as the light of the world. God, you weren't content to leave us in our darkness. You weren't content to leave us in our brokenness and our loneliness. So many times in despair, but God, you gave us a light. The light of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came as the embodiment of your love, full of grace, full of truth. And God, I love us. I love the fact that you know us and you love us exactly for who we are. And there's nothing that we can do to make you love us anymore. There's nothing that we can do to make you love us any less, but you love us as we are. And so Lord, today we receive you as our light. As our light, Jesus, I receive you as my light. Somebody needs to pray that with me. Jesus, I receive you as the light for my path, to give direction to my life. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to be a light to others. In every direction, there are people all around us in need. They don't need all of our advice. They don't need us to tell them everything. God, what they need us to do is to be a reflection of your love and your light. I pray that you would ask that you would help us to do that this Christmas. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.